Turn with me, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 8. The book of Acts, chapter 8, and you'll find that on page 807 in the Bible in the pew in front of you. Just as you're turning up there, we're very happy to have Kathy Bryant with us today. Kathy just turned 86 years old last Friday, April the 7th, and still going strong. So we welcome you, Kathy. It's good to see you here again today. And we pray the Lord's continued blessing on the many more years that He'll give you in the Lord's will. We're reading now from the book of Acts, chapter 8. We'll read the first 8 verses and then move down to verse 25. And Saul was consenting unto his death, that is Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and haling men and women, and committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and preached Christ unto them. The people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Verse 25. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. The eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Father, as we come now to Thy Word, we pray that Thou wilt open every heart. We read of Lydia and how her heart was opened by the Lord. And we pray that each of us will know that experience today of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us. Lord, speak to me, I pray. Speak through me that no one would misunderstand the gospel message, the Word of God. That there would be a word in season to every heart here this day. Father, take away, we ask, every distracting thought. Take away everything that would come in to rob away or steal away the blessing of God. Lord, help us, we pray, to understand the Scripture. Bless us now, we pray. We would ask that anyone here in our service who is still unsaved, anyone that is listening over the webcast that is still unsaved, they would hear that effectual call of the Holy Spirit and come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, hear our prayers, for we ask these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Well-known story we have here in the book of Acts, chapter 8. A story that has been told and retold and told again from the earliest Sunday school times. But what a fascinating account that God has given to us of the conversion of this Ethiopian eunuch. There are so many lessons that we can learn from this account, not only of the salvation of this man, but of how God worked in the life of His servant to bring about the salvation of this man. We don't know from Scripture, but there is interesting account in history of the result of what happened as this eunuch took the message of the gospel back to his hometown, back to his city, and of the spread of the gospel message that went from that time forward. But let's back up a bit and see what was happening in the circumstances around this. The events were very difficult in Jerusalem. Stephen had just been martyred by an angry mob that he was preaching to about the gospel, about Christ, about what the Lord had endured for his salvation. And as he was there, and all those lifted the stones to put him to death, there was another man, Saul, who was there also witnessing, and he was holding the coats of those who were doing that evil work. And then we're told in the opening verse of chapter 8 that Saul, consenting to his death, then continued to cause this havoc in the church in Jerusalem, and he continued in his evil work, taking men and women from their very homes for no other crime but that they testified of salvation through Jesus Christ and that He was Messiah. And as people made that testimony, they were guilty, and guilty of death. The sentence of death was upon them. Well, when the Lord allowed this persecution to come into Jerusalem, it had another impact. It had the impact of causing many people to be scattered abroad. And as they were scattered abroad, they went everywhere preaching the Word. And so we find that Philip, he went preaching the word, and he preached Christ unto them. It tells us in verse 5, he preached Christ unto them that were in Samaria. There was a great awakening that took place in Samaria. The Holy Spirit was moving, and there were opposing forces. There was Simon the sorcerer, who had for a long time bewitched the people of Samaria by his trickery and by his sorcery. And yet he could not stand in the way of the moving of God and of the preaching of the word of Christ by his faithful servants. Now we're told in verse 14, though we did not read that, about Peter and John, when the news came to them that the gospel had been preached in Samaria, well, they went down there. They went down to see what was happening and to acknowledge that this was indeed a genuine work of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's most fascinating when you consider the two people, James and John, and Peter and John having gone down there because, well, John was one that in the earlier part of the life of the Lord Jesus, when he was going to go down through Samaria on his way to Jerusalem, where he was going to be crucified. The towns of Samaria did not accept the Lord because he was not going to stay there. And because of that, James and John went to the Lord and they said, "We'll call down fire from heaven and just destroy the whole city." But how different it is now, because now we find that Peter and John especially here has a different spirit. He now is going down to witness that God has moved among the very people that he wanted to see destroyed. You have to understand that there had been centuries of bias, centuries of prejudice between the Jews and the Samaritans, but a real work of grace had been done in the life of John. So that a previous prejudice that he had against these people, he is now seeing how that God is going to remove that. And he is going to go and see what great things God has done through these people in Samaria. It may be, just an aside note here, that the Lord has a work to do in our hearts as well because of some prejudice that we have against a group of people or against individuals. Maybe we think that we can't see them receiving the gospel. It may be because of their appearance. It may be because of their dress or their culture or something else. But deeply embedded in our hearts is a prejudice against a certain faction of people. My friends, we need to bring those prejudices to the Lord and say, "Lord, change my heart and give me a compassion that is the compassion of Christ toward them so that we are able to witness of the grace that is in the gospel message and to see a good work done through them." Well, after Peter and John had testified and had preached the word in Samaria, they returned back to Jerusalem. And don't forget that Philip was still there in Samaria. And now we come down to verse 26, where it says that the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying unto him, "Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And my friends, what I want to do this morning is to look at this story of the conversion of this eunuch and to see how God worked in the life of his servant and to see how he brought about the salvation of this man. And the first thing that we learn from this account given to us is that God works through individuals that are dedicated and willing for him. See, verse 26, the instruction of the messenger of the Lord was very clear to Philip: "Arise and go." It was not ambiguous. It was not uncertain. The Spirit of the Lord came and spoke to Philip and said, "It is time for you to move to another location. Get up and go." Now, my friends, Philip could have easily argued with the Lord here. A lot of good reasoning could have come into Philip's mind. He could have said, "Well, surely, Lord, why are you sending me? Because I am involved in a good work here in Samaria, and the Lord is moving, and the Spirit of God is moving, and souls are being saved. There is a great work of God being done. Lord, would it not be better to take someone else, maybe in a closer vicinity to where this person or whatever you want me to do, take someone else who is a little bit closer? And besides, there is a great need for me to continue to encourage the new converts, to preach the gospel, to continue to see the Lord working in Samaria." But that's all hypothetical because he didn't do that. Philip responded to the word of the Lord to him immediately. And here we are presented with a man of God whose life is completely devoted to the leading of the Holy Spirit in his life. He is absolutely consecrated to what God is doing in him and through him. And my friends, the circumstances around are not the business of the individual worker of God. And the results are not the business of the worker of God. But to obey is the business of the worker of God. For Samuel had to say to Saul so many years before, "To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams, than all of our offerings, all of our reasoning, all of our good thinking. We must submit ourselves to the Lord's purposes in our life." I wonder, is God speaking to you? Is the Lord dealing with you in your own heart about some work, some service, something He wants you to do? But you're presenting to God 101 good reasons as to why you are not the one to go where the Lord's sending you, or to do what He wants you to do. And you could say there are other people more qualified. There perhaps are other people closer to the locality. Maybe the work you think you're doing is a very good work now. I don't know what the Lord is doing or saying in your own heart, but it's possible that this word here is a word for you today. Do you know that Philip did not even know the reason for his journey? The Lord just said, "Go. Go down to this particular place." Sometimes the way that God takes us is out of the way. Sometimes the way the Lord takes us is maybe a dangerous journey. But so often He has to do that so He can both teach us and use us for His greater glory. He found this man and He called Philip to do a certain thing. And it was the Spirit of the Lord that was working in his heart. And I don't know if you've ever experienced the Lord directing your life by speaking to your spirit to do a certain thing one way or another. But I think it has a lot to do with how close or not so close we are with the Lord, whether we'll respond instantly or not. If we are cold in heart, if we're distant from the Lord, well, we're not very pliable to Him. How should we be in the hand of God? If you've ever tried to wind up a garden hose that's been left out overnight, perhaps on a frosty evening, you will know how difficult it is to try and coil up that hose. Why? because it's frozen. The moisture on the inside, it's cold. It's not pliable any longer. And you have to wrestle with it and fight with it, and you have to bend it, and you hear the creaks and the groans and the cracks of it. But have you ever worked with a hose that has been sitting out in the sun in the summertime for a while, and it's really warm? And you go and try to wind up that hose. It's very easy to work with because it's pliable. Inside, it's warm. And my friends, if we are warm with the Lord and in contact with the Lord, our lives are going to be pliable. And He's going to be able to use us according to His own purpose. We have to learn sometimes that God's ways are not our ways. And where the Lord tells us to go or what He tells us to do, it doesn't always seem that it's the right thing or the wise thing or the sensible thing for us at the time. Philip was in the will of God at the time that God had called him, and he was busy at it. This is another important factor. God uses people that are in His will and doing His work and busy at His work. Sometimes people have a thought, well, I'm going to be used of God sometime down the future, but I'm just doing my own thing or preparing my own life now, and later I'll do what the Lord wants me to do. But my friend, God moved Philip. Philip was in the will of God. He was filled with the Spirit of God. He was serving the Lord with all his heart, and he's the man whom the Lord used. Are you in touch with the Lord today? Do you know the Lord's Spirit working and moving in your own life? Let us not be sideline Christians, but let us be those that are in touch with Him and in fellowship with the Lord. I want you to notice also from this story that God is concerned about individual people. For He took this man Philip away from a very thriving work, and He took him to meet one man. He took him to meet one man that was in the middle of a desert. Now this one man had an entourage of people with him without doubt, but Philip was not coming there to preach to all the people. He was coming down there to speak to one man. And my friend, maybe you're here today, and God has brought you into this church service today. You're one person. And let me tell you, the Lord is interested in you as an individual. He wants to deal with your heart and life as one person. And the word of the Lord is open to you this very day. He was in the middle of this desert, in the middle of an unlikely place. My friends, it could be that the Lord has worked at different times in your life by unusual circumstances. Maybe someone has passed a gospel tract to you. Maybe someone has spoken a word to you that was very unusual in the circumstance, but God has been touching and speaking to your heart through those things. The Lord is concerned about you. I remember on the doors in Malvern a couple of years back, there was a man from another religion. And as I was speaking to him about the Lord, he was very interested. And he was so interested because he could not believe that there was a God who actually loved him. Because the God and gods that he worshipped in his religion, there was no idea of love connected with that. There was not the idea of whoever was out there being really interested in him as an individual, as one person. But this is the glory of the gospel message, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Apostle Paul was able to say, God has come to save me, the chief of sinners, the one person. The Lord has come to save individuals. And so, this particular man, this eunuch, who was returning from his time of worship in Jerusalem, he was obviously some kind of a Jewish proselyte. He was a man who had a prepared heart. And as he had been prepared by the Spirit of God, he was prepared by reading the Scripture. And he was opening the Word of God. You know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God? And so he was prepared as he was unfolding and reading the Scriptures. And that tells us that the Bible was there already being disseminated. He obviously had a copy of the Scripture. He could afford to buy it, though I'm sure it would have been very expensive. And he was reading. God is concerned about individuals. And you know, the Lord works and comes to prepared hearts. For we have a concerned man here, this eunuch. Look at verse 31. He said to Philip, "How can I understand what I am reading, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Here was a concerned man. He was a concerned man about what he was reading. He was a concerned man by the operation of the Holy Spirit on his heart. And he was reading about this prophet, Isaiah. And he was confused. He did not understand. Was the prophet speaking about himself? Or was he speaking about another person? He was also a man who was convicted by the Holy Spirit. Because when Philip drew near to him and he said, "Do you understand what you read?" And the man said, "Well, how can I, except someone explains it to me?" And then he invited Philip to come up. He sat beside him in the chariot. And oh, here, my friend, is another beautiful picture of a worker of the Lord. Someone coming to the side of someone who needs instruction in the gospel. Have you ever found yourself drawing to the side of another person, burdened in heart to unfold the Scripture to them, share with them what Christ has done for you, to share with them who the Lord really is and what it means to experience the joy of sins forgiven? Well, Philip drew near to this eunuch, and we find out where he was reading. He was reading in Isaiah chapter 53. Coincidence? Well, you just stop and think for a moment about all of the design providences of God that brought that man from where he was in Samaria, over 120 kilometers, and from what we understand, it's quite possible that Philip was at that point walking, at least he ran toward the chariot when he saw that, and the Lord told him to go there. How many days would it have taken Philip to go from Samaria down to that place? How long would he have had to stop for his sleep? It would have been several days' journey. But the clock was ticking, and God was working. Because here is this carriage of people coming along from Jerusalem, and at that point when Philip sees him, and the Lord says, "Go near to him," he meets him. And when he meets him, this man is reading in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53. If you know your Bible, you will know that portion of Scripture very well. You will know that that portion of the Bible is speaking about our Savior and about His crucifixion. That portion of Scripture that was written over 700 years before Jesus Christ came It was talking about Him going as a lamb before the shearers. Talking about Him giving Himself. And so the eunuch reads and he wonders, who is this man speaking of? He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation and his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from him. And it's the point of the crucifixion of Christ. That's what the man was reading at. It was at the cross, my friend. And that's where Philip met this man. And that, my friend, is where the Lord is going to meet you. He is going to meet you at the cross of Christ. For if you are going to know His salvation, you're going to know it only through what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross. For there He suffered in your place. There He died for you, that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. This is the message He preached unto him, Jesus. And so clear it is that Christ, that is in the volume of the book, from the beginning to the middle to the end, here's the Lord being preached to this man. They did not have the New Testament at this time. They only had the Old Testament. Philip only had the Scriptures of the Old Testament to read and to preach Christ to him out of those things. And so, not only was this man a concerned man, but he was also a convicted man. Because if you notice in verse 36, it says, "And after Philip had preached unto him Jesus, and as they went on their way, they came unto certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" The Spirit of God was working in his heart. He was realizing that the message that Philip was speaking unto him was the Word of the Lord. Here was the Messiah, Jesus Christ, had been told to him. The conviction of the Holy Spirit had been working in the life of this man. For how long had it been working? Well, we don't know, except that it seemed evident that all the time that the eunuch had been either in Jerusalem and was now on his way home, he was concerned enough to be reading the Bible. Perhaps he's crying out, "Lord, help me understand. There is something missing in my life, and I need to have that missing piece of the puzzle to put in." He was a concerned man, but he was also convicted by the Spirit of God. Maybe there's someone here today, and the Lord is convicting you of your sin. He's convicting you about your life. And that if you were to die in your sin, you would be separated from God for all eternity. And if, my friend, you die without Christ today, you will one day stand before Him in judgment. God was working on the heart of this man as He is working on the hearts of some people here today. And as Philip preached unto this man and the conviction of the Holy Ghost came upon him, the man was being brought right to the very edge. And he was saying, "I see what you are saying. I understand the message of the gospel. I understand that when a person comes to Christ, they are to be baptized by way of a public profession of their faith." And so he says, "I see water here. What does hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip says to him, "Nothing hinders you if you believe with all your heart." And so we find that not only was he a concerned man and a convicted man, but he was also a confessing man. Look at verse 37. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And that was his confession of faith. That was the confession that he brought so boldly that day, not only in front of Philip's hearing, but I am certain that others who were around him in the entourage of people, they would also have heard, but most certainly they would have seen. They saw what was going to take place. For the Holy Spirit brought and opened the eyes of this man, and he believed by faith and he confessed publicly that Jesus Christ was his Savior. And my friend, that's what the Lord says in His Word is required of you as well. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is the gospel message. Baptism is something that follows along after a person has made public profession of their faith in Christ. Sad today that so many people have got the cart before the horse. And they think by either being baptized when they are a baby with a few drops of water, or else they go through full immersion and they think, I'm okay now. And really, they have never come to confess that Jesus Christ is their Savior. They don't know what it is to be born again of the Spirit of God. And so they have put baptism first, and they have made baptism kind of the door into salvation. And that's not the way it is. Baptism is something that follows after, and it's part of our sanctification. It's part of the testimony that we have been saved by the grace of God. We have believed in Jesus Christ, and we readily accept what He has done for us. And therefore, I want to make public profession that I love Him, and that I've been saved by His grace. And it may be that I'm speaking to some believer here today, and you have come to the Lord, but you've never been baptized. You need to obey the Lord. You need to follow the Lord in His own example. And as this eunuch did, and Philip was most willing to make this public profession that this man had truly come to Christ. And others who were around him saw that. And it was significant in that day because after the man had, they'd come up out of the water, and Philip was taken away by the Spirit of God, and the eunuch saw him no more, but, well, we're told something else. He was a changed man. For in verse 39 it says that, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Why? Because he was a changed man. He had come under conviction of sin. He had confessed that Christ was his Savior, and now he was changed. And what a change it does. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Do you know that change today? Have you been born again of the Spirit of God? Are you walking in newness of life? Does the Spirit of God abide in you? You can know that today, my friend, by coming on the same blood-sprinkled pathway that this man came on. And by acknowledging that Jesus Christ is your only Savior. And by calling upon Him in simple faith and saying, Lord, I am a sinner. And I need to be saved from my sin. And in so calling upon the Lord, the Scripture tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, there was great rejoicing in that day. Rejoicing, well, not only for Philip, as he had been used of the Lord and he now went on his way, but there was great rejoicing in the life of this man. He took the gospel message back to Ethiopia. I believe that there was a great work done in Ethiopia. During that time, the establishment of the church can be traced in history, and it's strongly believed that this eunuch was the man that God used for that purpose. But what about Philip? That wasn't the end for him. The Lord had other work for him to do, and he was escorted off. He was taken to another place, and he continued in his work of being an evangelist. God has a work for us to do. He has a work for you to do. Be about the Master's business, and be earnest, and be interested, for the Lord will work through you in the salvation of many precious souls. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we pray this day that Thy Spirit would continue to work and to speak on into every heart. I ask Thee, Lord, to bring some soul under strong conviction of sin and bring them to surrender the foot of the cross. They might call out and know the full and the free salvation that there is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, speak to each of our hearts, we pray, and use us for Thy greater glory and for the extension of Thy kingdom. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to conclude our service today.